The intersection of those two conditions arguably marks the status of belonging to womanhood in ways that do not depend on reproductive biology. The "what is a woman" question can stretch the bounds and bonds of womanhood in messy yet vital directions, as in the case of Marsha P. Johnson, a feminine gender nonconforming person who graced the streets of New York City as a self-proclaimed street transvestite action revolutionary for decades. She's now hailed as a transgender icon, but Johnson fits awkwardly with contemporary ideas of trans womanhood, let alone womanhood more generally. She called herself gay at a time when the word transgender was not common and lived as a man from time to time. She used she, her pronouns, but thought of herself as a queen, not as a woman or even a transsexual. While some people now embrace a rainbow of possibilities between the familiar pink and blue, others hew even tighter to a biological fundamentalism. Those willing to recognize new forms of gender feel anxious about misgendering others, while those who claim superior access to the truth are prepared to impose that truth upon those who disagree. What's right, even what's real, in such circumstances is not always self-evident. Labeling others contrary to how they have labeled themselves is an ethically loaded act, but woman remains a useful shorthand for the entanglement of femininity and social status regardless of biology, not as an identity, but as the name for an imagined community that honors the female, enacts the feminine, and exceeds the limitations of a sexist society. Why can't womanhood jettison its biocentrism to expand its political horizons and include people like Marsha P. Johnson? After all, it's we, the living, who say collectively what woman means, hopefully in ways that center the voices and experiences of all those who live as women across all our other differences.